Radio Prague News.
Police are investigating circumstances behind a fire at Pilsen's Škoda factory, leading to an estimated 130 million crowns in damages. A 45-year-old man was killed on Saturday evening, struck by lightning on a golf course south of Prague. And a new poll has suggested that 73% of Czechs rate President Václav Klaus as most trustworthy among Czech politicians. Police in the West Bohemian city of Pilsen are investigating circumstances behind a fire that broke out in a factory building for the construction of transformers belonging to Škoda Pilsen. Investigators have not ruled out negligence as a cause. A 49-year-old worker is said to have been installing electrical equipment and welding an item when a spark set off the blaze. Damages have been estimated as high as 130 million crowns, the equivalent of $5 million U.S. It is not yet clear whether the man will face charges for negligence, putting the public at risk. Two workers at the plant suffered light injuries. A 45-year-old man was killed on Saturday when he was struck by lightning. The accident took place in the evening hours at a golf course near the historic site of Konopiške near Benešov, south of Prague. The man, believed to have been either a British or German national, died instantly. Representatives of the course have not commented the incident. And elsewhere on Saturday evening, lightning strikes caused a number of fires, hitting several cottages and a family home in the region of southern Moravia. Firefighters called in noted that most of the homes struck lacked lightning rods for protection. Damages, however, were minor, and no one suffered injury. A poll released by the STEM agency has suggested that around 73% of Czechs consider President Václav Klaus to be the most trustworthy among Czech politicians. He is followed by Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek at 48%. Mr. Klaus's numbers have been stable since a previous poll, but Mr. Paroubek's rise has been noteworthy. On April 25th, he took over as Prime Minister, relatively unknown. His numbers have risen steadily since. Trust in two other constitutional officials, the Speaker of the Chamber of Deputies, Lubomír Zaorálek, and the Chairman of the Senate, Přemysl Sobotka, was expressed by 43% of those surveyed. Finally, a look at the weather. The days ahead are expected to be both sunny and hot, with daytime temperatures averaging between 25 and 27 degrees Celsius. I'm Jan Wellinger, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague and I'm David Vaughan. Today we join the Czech Prime Minister on his historic tour of China. We'll be remembering the role played by Jewish Czechs and Slovaks who fought in World War II, and we look back at the life of one of the legends of the Czech acting profession who died over the weekend. The Czech Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek is on his longest foreign trip since taking office 2 months ago. After visiting Japan last week, where he met top officials, including the Japanese Emperor Akihito, he moved on to China on Saturday, where his talks focused mostly on Czech-Chinese trade relations. At the last minute, a meeting was also set up with the Chinese President, Hu Jintao. Martin Mikulay reports.
China is a fast-developing and huge economy and a magnet for foreign investment. But human rights remain a sensitive issue and also one that the Czech Republic often likes to stress in its foreign policy. While the former Czech president Václav Havel was a strong advocate of human rights abroad and refused to travel to countries like China, his successor Václav Klaus, as well as the current prime minister Jiří Paroubek, take a far more pragmatic approach, preferring to stress economic relations. But according to Rudolf Fürst from the Prague Institute of International Relations, Václav Havel's policy was rather an exception, and Mr. Paroubek's approach is more typical in the current situation.
Well, as to my opinion, the Czech Republic is a country with a parliamentary system. We do not have the presidential system. Who is conducting the foreign policy is the government. Václav Havel was a former dissident, and that's why he was commonly known for his critical attitudes towards authoritarian or totalitarian regimes. So that's why he also criticized China. But to my opinion, this criticism is in Czech Republic too overestimated and did not affect Czech-Chinese relations so much.
According to Rudolf Fürst, Czechoslovakia had close trade relations with China back in communist days, and the Czech leadership wants to build on these ties.
Well, I think that there is a tradition of Czech industrial product, China, export of cars, of lorries, for instance, Tatra, and there was a tradition of industrial build-up and participation of the big industrial units, like the construction of power plants, for instance.
Trade possibilities were also the main focus of Mr. Paroubek's hour-long debate with President Hu Jintao.
I mentioned some Czech projects that have recently been successfully achieved. I also spoke about the Czech position in the European Union. In China, we are often viewed as a country that is among the most developed countries. I've also pointed out that the competitiveness of Czech products is rising. So I am trying to show the Chinese officials that the Czech Republic can bring something new even to the Chinese market.
Says Czech Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek. Before going to China, Mr. Paroubek consulted his trip with the Czech communists, who are said to be connoisseurs of the communist countries in general. This and the fact that he chose to ignore human rights issues altogether during his long meeting with the Chinese president has infuriated some of his political opponents, and we can expect the debate to continue when he comes home later this week.
Thanks very much, Martin Mikule. We now move on to an exhibition that's currently on show at the Czech Parliament. In the years from 1939 to 1945, thousands of Jewish Czechs and Slovaks fought against the Nazis around the world, some within the armies that were resisting Hitler and others in the underground. Dieter Asiedu visited the exhibition, which features a part of Czechoslovak history that most Czechs know little about.
Já se jmenuji Bedřich Kopold a mě říkají Boris. My jsme po pochodu, který trval 350 kilometrů a trval teda přes 10 dní.
Bedřich Kopold took part in one of the bloodiest battles fought by the 1st Independent Czechoslovak Battalion in the former Soviet Union. The three-day battle at Sokolovo in Ukraine in March 1943 was the battalion's first. While many Czechs are familiar with the story of Sokolovo, few know that some 600 of the 1,000 Czechoslovak soldiers were Jewish.
My jsme po pochodu, který trval 350 kilometrů a trval teda přes 10 dní.
We walked a stretch of 350 kilometers for 10 days. We walked at night and slept during the day. We learned to walk in our sleep, and our eyes were constantly fixed on the person in front of us, just to prevent us from getting lost. Some of us did. There were very harsh conditions. It was a small area, and yet the Germans deployed some 60 tanks to fight us.
Most exhibitions covering the fate of the Jewish people in Europe during the Second World War focus on the Holocaust. We've seen heartbreaking photos of extermination camps and learned about the hard life in the Jewish ghettos from personal diaries. But an estimated 5,000 Jews, men and women, managed to escape and join the resistance. They fought the Germans in Poland, Russia, Spain, France, Britain, the Middle East and North Africa. 26 panels of photographs and other archive materials document their lives and activities at an exhibition in Prague's Chamber of Deputies. Its curator, Jana Surova, has been studying Jewish involvement in the resistance movement for some 15 years.
Na moje překvapenie mnohí majú fotografie.
I was surprised to find that many Jewish World War II veterans have photographs and archive material documenting life at the time, which have not seen the light of day since the end of the war. But now I can understand why. The tragic experience of the Holocaust overshadowed the fact that there were also heroes among the persecuted Jews, people who actively fought in the war.
both the National and the Military Museums have turned down the request to host the exhibition. That's something Mrs. Sudova finds unfortunate. She points out that the exhibition documents a part of Czech and Slovak history that most know little about.
Visitors will be surprised to see that many Jews did not just hide or were sent off in the transports, but also were involved in numerous secret resistance movements. For example, they managed to find a way and risked their lives by doing so to smuggle the Amsterdam intelligence team to Slovakia. The team's aims were to report on what was going on, help the Allied force pilots that were imprisoned in Slovakia get back to their bases, and save the Slovak Jewish community.
Jana Sudová says a very important role was also played by many Jewish women. They were among the first women to join the Czechoslovak army. The first two women to join the Czechoslovak army in the Soviet Union were Jewish, a Dr. Engel and another woman called Malvina Friedman.
V tom prvním boji Sokolova, kde nás bylo skoro tisíc, bojovalo taky 38 žen.
In the battle at Sokolovo, 38 of the 1,000 soldiers were women. It was unusual at the time. They had snipers and helped pull injured men out of the line of fire. One Russian general who was monitoring our operation with a pair of binoculars couldn't believe his eyes when he saw our woman pull a Russian tank driver out of his vehicle into safety. Our women were very brave, and they were very good friends who gave us courage through their own courage. Of course, we didn't want to make fools of ourselves if the women managed the situation so well. There were many times when some of us got tired, and they carried our weapons for kilometres, and even treated our blisters. A good few valuable marriages came out of this. I myself met my wife on the front, and we've been married now for 60 years. And that moving report was brought to us by Dita Asiedo. You're tuned to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. One of the legends of the Czech acting profession, Jiří Kodet, died on Saturday at 67 after a long illness. Here he is in one of the most unforgettable scenes in Czech cinema of the last 20 years.
Proletáři všech zemí, byli jste si prdel!
Workers of the world, lick your ass, screams the impossible Krauss from his balcony in the 1999 film Pelishki. With black humour, the film portrayed some of the realities of communism, Czech style, in the 70s and 80s, and Jiří Kodet had a role that couldn't have been more apt. He played an ill-tempered, passionate anti-communist who makes life hell for his family, but never compromises on his principles. This could well be a description of Kodet himself. He was notoriously difficult to work with. Story has it that the film director Věra Chytilová once even threw a knife at him in sheer frustration, but he was also universally described as a gentleman, a cavalier and a bon vivant, with a naturally aristocratic bearing.
Já jsem Jiřího Kodeta velmi dobře znal. Opakovaně jsem se s ním stýkal. A když minulý týden byla taková malá...
When he died on Saturday, praise came from many sides, including President Václav Klaus, who described him as a good friend and his death as a huge loss. Kodet's successful career was little short of a miracle. His hatred of the old regime was every bit as vehement as that of the character he played in Pelishki, and went right back to the day when he was 15 and was thrown out of school for the crime of having a stepfather who had dared to emigrate. Although he never graduated from drama school after refusing on principle to do the compulsory Russian language exams, he went on to become one of the cornerstones of Prague's Činoherní klub theatre in its heyday in the 60s. His performances in Chekhov's The Seagull and Uncle Vanya, or in Gogol's The Government Inspector, became legendary. But it was only with the fall of communism that Jiří Kodet began to get major film roles. He won considerable acclaim in the eccentrically entertaining film The Buttonholers by Petr Zelenka, and then in 1999 came the role of his career in Pelishki, one of the great Czech films of recent years. Here's a short scene from the film. A bitter family row over whether or not what they've got on their plates are dumplings. I hope you get a feeling of the atmosphere, even if you don't speak Czech.
Noky? Slyšel jsem dobře? Řekla jsi noky?
Maminčiny noky přece. Pravý Nok je na povrchu klouzavý a uvnitř kyprý a vláčný.
Ale mluvila jsi o maminčiny vynikajících bramborových knedlících.
Mluvím o senzačních maminčiních nocích.
Jiří Kodet has left us, but the family acting tradition that stretches way back to the middle of the 19th century goes on. His daughter, Bára, is also a successful actress.
Krásná je Neapol, když den se stmívá.
This is Radio Prague, and now to Ian Willoughby with the sport.
We start today's sport with Czech success in canoeing at the European Slalom Racing Championships, which have just ended in the Slovenian resort of Tatzen. Among the Czech medalists were Jaroslav Wolf and Andrej Štěpánek. They defended their title in the C2, or canoe double, category. And here's one of those Czech gold medal winners, Andrej Štěpánek.
As usual, the race here in Tatzen was a bit of a lottery. The water here is rough, and on top of that, it was windy. In fact, the race was delayed for half an hour. Of course, the result more than made up for that, and we're delighted with our win. Becoming European champions means a lot to us. I guess I'd rank it after our bronze from last year's Olympics.
Second after Štěpánek and Wolf in the C2 were fellow Czechs Marek Jiras and Tomáš Máder. Perhaps the best-known Czech canoeist, Štěpánka Hilgertová, finished second in the K1 category. Third was Irena Pavelková, also of the Czech Republic. Tennis, and the only Czech singles player to reach the second week at Wimbledon, was Květoslava Peškeová, who beat Spain's Conchita Martinez in the third round. The Czech was due to play Nadia Petrova of Russia in the fourth, after the recording of our program. Peškeová Ní Hrdličková is 29. She's made something of a late return to top tennis after a series of injuries. Czech men's number one, Radek Štěpánek, was knocked out of Wimbledon by Scottish teenager Andy Murray. That was much to the joy of local fans. And Jiří Novák went out to Max Mirny of Belarus. Novák, by the way, is momentarily changing sport. He's currently training with ice hockey star Jaromír Jágr's Jágr team, which the famous forward puts together every summer for exhibition games. Finally to football, and an unfortunate controversy concerning Václav Kolosek, one of the most talented midfielders in the Czech league. Kolosek recovered from leukemia last year, but after his comeback didn't make many appearances for club Slavia Prague. What's more, the player has taken Slavia to arbitration over unpaid bonuses. Now manager Karel Jarolím has suggested Kolosek no longer has what it takes to play top-class football, allegations the latter describes as unfounded and humiliating. Whatever happens, it seems unlikely he'll play for Slavia again. That's all the sport for today.
Thank you, Ian. And now to Dita Asiedu with this week's talking point.
Of the one-size-fits-all approach to the prescription of an estimated 20 to 25% of drugs on the market are finally over in the Czech Republic. With a new piece of equipment called the AmpliChip, doctors can now offer those patients most at risk of suffering from adverse reactions tailor-made treatment. I visited Charles University's General Faculty Hospital in Prague, where Professor Tomáš Zima, head of the Institute of Clinical Chemistry and Laboratory Diagnostics, introduced me to their new baby.
It's not a big room. The real AmpliChip, it's a relatively small equipment. Real chip for one patient. It is 3 to 4 centimeters, very small card. The computer screen, the scanner of AmpliChip, it's partially bigger than the tower for computers. And the final part, it's equipment as small copy machine, and that's all.
So how does the AmpliChip work? Put simply, it enables clinical diagnostic laboratories to identify certain naturally occurring variations in two genes that play a crucial role in drug metabolism. These variations affect the rate at which an individual metabolizes many drugs used to treat cardiovascular disease, high blood pressure, depression, cancer, and many others.
The patient is an extreme metabolizer, pure metabolizer, or standard metabolizer. It means if you will be the pure metabolizer, that the standard classical dose of the wide spectrum of drugs will accumulate in the human body with adverse effects. And on the opposite side, the rapid, extremely metabolizers very rapidly degrade the molecules of drugs, and the effect of the treatment be lesser than the standard. And how many people in the population have these two genes? Approximately 5 to 10% are pure metabolizer, and 2 to 5% are ultra-rapid metabolizers. It is some expected number of patients which should be saved by this diagnostic test.
Until recently, physicians had no way of determining what kind of metabolizer their patient was and were forced to use the trial and error approach. Now, physicians can select the best drug and set the right dose for a patient sooner, as well as avoid drugs that may cause the patient to suffer serious adverse reactions. According to official US FDA statistics, some 33 million people end up in hospital yearly because of side effects to their medication. In the United States alone, some 100,000 die of adverse reactions or side effects. A leading Czech daily has done some research on statistics for the Czech Republic and has found that the number of people who die every year either because they overdose on medication or are given the wrong treatment exceeds 5,000. Czech hospitals now hope the automated system for DNA testing will reduce that figure dramatically. Charles University's General Faculty Hospital is the first in post-communist Central and Eastern Europe to acquire the AmpliChip. As costing somewhere between 7 to 10 million Czech crowns, it is expensive and was only launched in Europe last year.
This AmpliChip for in vitro diagnostic tests all around the world, it is real new. It's approximately less than 1 year. Totally in Europe, it is 12 AmpliChips now. 8 in Germany, 3 in the Netherlands, 1 in Austria, and now it's 1 in Prague.
The chip was officially launched in Prague in mid-June and will mainly be used for oncology patients whose treatment is very expensive and the risk of side effects is high.
But this test is one for whole life. This result is not changed during the whole life of the patient. As a new technology, it's not paid by a health insurance company yet. But we will start a discussion with the health insurance company in our country and prepare some basic information for it. And I believe that in the future, for a selective group of the patient, will be paid by the health insurance company.
Insurance companies have been quite receptive to the idea. Healthcare costs for patients undergoing the wrong treatment or suffering from side effects are high, and a one-off diagnosis of suitable medication could release the burden on healthcare systems. The Ampli chip cannot be used to assess the chance of people developing life-threatening diseases. But according to Professor Zimmer, the approval and effectiveness of the chip has launched a whole new revolution in treatment for some of the world's most vicious diseases.
It is not a preventive method. I know that it's in the development of other gene chips, the leukochip for some classification or description of some type of the leukemia. The other ideas, it is some risk factors for the cardiovascular disease, psychosomatic disease, breast cancer, but it will be in the future. And I believe that this technology will be rapidly developed for the better health prevention and healthcare.
That edition of Talking Point was presented by Dita Asiedu. And I hope you've enjoyed today's program. We'll be back again tomorrow. But for the time being, from me, David Vaughan, and all of us here at Radio Prague, goodbye.
Posloucháte Rádio Praha, vysílání Českého rozhlasu do zahraničí.